honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps and, of course, a part of the Basketball Podcast Network. Thank you, Dylan and Kyle, for having me on board. That's coming out of Vancouver, British Columbia. Just want to say thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It's a great pleasure, always, to be back and board with you once again today. It's kind of cloudy, kind of going to rain, going to snow. All of us thinking it's springtime, and it sure felt like it, with some lightning and thunder last night. And then next thing you know, it's going to be winter again. So for a little bit, not too long. But you didn't come to listen to that. just describing my surroundings, I suppose. The Minnesota Timberwolves, well, there's some bright sunny days, and then there's some lightning and thunder. I guess there was a little bit of lightning and thunder versus the Phoenix Suns. Minnesota Timberwolves, another meatloaf, 2-1 week. Oh, sure, Kevin Durant comes back just in time to play against the Timberwolves because, it's the Timberwolves, so you know he's going to get up for that, right? Well, somebody got up for it, and the Phoenix Suns continue their unfortunate winning ways against the Minnesota Timberwolves anyway, and we'll see if they're a super threat to win the Western Conference. You would think they are, but I don't know. Let's see if Kevin Durant has another hangnail and he's out another 3 weeks or something. You know, he's doubtful with the hangnail. And then, it's a game time decision. Nope, he's not going to play. He's not going to play the next game either. We'll evaluate him in a week. You know, that hangnail, it's just, and yes, hangnails do hurt, but yeah, you get the idea. That's about it these days, it seems like. But the Minnesota Timberwolves played phenomenal defense and shot like crap, but played phenomenal defense against the Golden State Warriors, who also shot like crap thanks to the Timberwolves' phenomenal defense. On Sunday, the 26th of March, a 99-96 win over the Golden State Warriors. Typically and traditionally, it's a complete opposite type of game. It's like 129 to 126 or something like that. So, quite crazy. Naz Reid lead the Wolves in scoring, some aggressive dunks, attacking the rim, and all that good stuff. Kyle Anderson playing that insane high IQ basketball. What's really nice, though, you watch the game recaps just to kind of, make sure you're not missing anything, that type of thing, that type of deal. And every bleeping highlight was Golden State Warrior this and Steph Curry made a shot that. Okay, thanks. Who won the basketball game and who played great defense? Come on. Steph Curry shot 8 of 23, 4 of 13 from the floor. But boy, they made sure we saw every gosh darn three he made. All four of his 13 threes that did not help me win a fantasy semifinal game. I'm not bitter about it or anything, but yeah, actually, a little bit. I had a Steph Curry. Let's see, I needed 4 three-pointers made, right, to advance to the final, right? I had, it was the second half. Guys hadn't been shooting super well. Only 4 threes needed to be made to at least tie things up and then 5 to win it and go to the final, right? I had Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards, and Mike Conley, who had made 4 threes, and that really helped in the first half. And I still lost because, it was ridiculous. I still lost. But it was like Anthony Edwards has returned for the first time in a little bit, obviously, and he'd come back from looked like a very painful, possible high ankle sprain. That's what it looked like, but maybe it wasn't high ankle. Just had to look. But, Conley wouldn't make another 3. Anthony Edwards would make 1 more, and I think Curry made 2 more to get within 2, and I lost. So I'm in the third place game, the bronze medal game. Jaden McDaniels ran into massive foul trouble. Played great defense, but also, again, got snake bit with foul trouble and all that. Only played about 10 minutes, 5 personal fouls, and made a free throw, 1 out of 4. So he shot terribly. Everybody shot terribly. 1 of 4 from the free throw line and missed the 2 shots he was able to attempt from the floor, him being Jaden McDaniels. Rudy Gobert ran into foul trouble, but still pretty much played a full game and attempted 3 shots. You think in a game where Jaden McDaniels basically hardly played because of foul trouble, Gobert only attempted 3 shots. But he did get 18 rebounds, so that counts for a heck of a lot. Anthony Edwards shoots 5 of 14. Karl Anthony Towns 5 of 16, except for a super clutch 3-pointer. Thank you very much. You think we might actually lose the game, but And you have guys like Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson. I mean, that just rolls right off your tongue. Sounds like an Irish or Scottish guy. Obviously not, but cool name. Nas Reed, phenomenal game. Again, attacking the rim and also hitting from the outside. 3 of 5, 10 of 17 on the floor. Kyle Anderson, very clutch steal late in the game. That just gobbled up Steph Curry, took the ball away, and fed Karl Anthony Towns for the big three. It was a huge moment. It looked like the Wolves might not win this game, that things were going to kind of fall apart. Most of the way, it felt like the Wolves were not going to win the game because we were shooting like crap. But Curry kept clanging threes after another as well. I don't know. They kind of counted on Curry too much, which is okay with me. And then at times they didn't count on him at all because they knew he wasn't going to make them for whatever reason. And that's how Curry racked up a few extra assists. But even Klay Thompson was 5 of 17, but 5 of 11 from downtown. So all of his shots made were threes. Again, I think that's becoming a plague in the NBA where it's just, oh, I guess every shot I make is a three. I'm going to miss everything else. You know, and I don't think I like that very much. I really don't. Jordan Poole, big clutch corner three late that had me, not happy. Let's just leave it at that. DiVincenzo, played 20 minutes but only made a single basket. That's kind of funny. Didn't even attempt a three. Draymond Green playing his usual physical style and defense and all that. But luckily the Wolves were able to overcome all the nonsense there. Gary Payton II, who had an adductor injury. Adductor. So not abductor, but adductor injury. So an interesting one there. But he's been playing, and good for him. It was not a pretty game at all. Not at all. But again, strong defense. And again, I can't say enough about the fact the Wolves were able to survive despite their, elite defender only playing 10 minutes because of crazy foul trouble. And, yeah, the Wolves escaped Chase Center with a three-point win. Again, that huge, the play of the game easily was Kyle Anderson getting the steal and feeding Karl Anthony Towns, who put up a quick three and ended up being a dagger. The Wolves ended up winning the game because the Warriors were unable to make their shot and all that good stuff. The ball was denied and all that. Great defense, again, down the stretch. And thank you so very much. Wolves able to survive a crazy, pretty ugly game in Chase Center, if that's what we like to call it. Where am I going next? I'm going to the Sacramento Kings back-to-back. And this felt like, okay, if you win one, you're probably going to lose the next one. And that's kind of been the Wolves' tradition. And Anthony Edwards always talks about he's not good in the back-to-backs and all that. Well, he was okay. He wasn't that good. But nobody was necessarily spectacular in the game. But there were a lot of good players. Jaden McDaniels certainly made up for a mess of a game. Also got into foul trouble again, but this time ended up lasting almost 40 minutes out there. So good for him, 39 basically. And again, playing that strong, crazy defense and making some nice shots and making some good moves. He's becoming one hell of a player. And like I said before, Jaden McDaniels is going to be a household name for NBA fans. I said this about, I think it was 2 years ago. I think it was. Maybe last year for sure. But Jaden McDaniels will be a household name for NBA fans. That doesn't mean he's going to be a perennial All-Star. That doesn't mean he's a future Hall of Famer. But you never know. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. It could happen. Very much so. But he will be a household name for NBA fans, not just Timberwolves fans. Already pretty much for Timberwolves fans, I would say Jaden McDaniels is a household name when you consider his elite defense. But also the fact he can score, too. He's got some nice moves, and he's getting better and better and better. Naz Reid has definitely become a household name for Timberwolves fans, and I think he's got a chance to be that kind of guy as well, to be a household name and among NBA fans. Not sure what's going on with Nickeil Alexander-Walker. He's vanished off the face of the earth. Pretty much did nothing versus the Oklahoma City Warriors, the Golden State Warriors. I don't know why. I have some kind of weird mental block with the Warriors and the Thunder. I don't know why. It makes no sense. I'm backtracking. Yeah, Walker, only 3 points, but he had 6 points. He had 6 points. Excuse me, I'm looking at something else. He actually played reasonable against the Warriors, but I don't know, not as aggressive as he'd been before. So hopefully he can get things going again. Against the Kings, though, Sacramento Kings, Alexander Walker, not a whole lot going on in that one. Was it 9 minutes and pretty much nothing? So it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. He got a rebound, so that's how that goes. Jalen Nowell, dusting off the Jalen Nowell card, so to speak. 6 of 11 from the floor with 14 points. It was nice to see Jalen Nowell getting some action. Certainly wasn't a perfect game or anything, but he played okay. He played solid. He provided that spark that the Wolves needed, especially in a game where, you know, the legs might be a little tired, and then Jalen Noel's legs were probably not nearly as tired. He couldn't wait to get the frick in the game, I'm sure. The poor guy. Conley, another very solid game, and continuing to play that high IQ basketball that this team needs so desperately. And NBA commentators all over the place, you know, with the Warriors game, the Kings game, and Phoenix or whatever. Players like Conley and Kyle Anderson, that's your Terry Porter and Sam Mitchell that really helped the Garnett era Wolves in the early days. Yes, Kyle Anderson's the Sam Mitchell, no doubt. Mike Conley's the Terry Porter, you know, a former very established point guard who was a former All-Star. That's pretty much Mike Conley right there. He plays a very high IQ game, a very friendly, calm individual who calms things down, has that high IQ, and again, Anderson, I mean, you know, occasionally Anderson has a little temper, but then again, so did Sam Mitchell. Let's not forget, right? You think Sam Mitchell didn't have a little temper sometimes? Temper, Sam. And yes, Kyle Anderson a little bit as well, as he's been getting technicals and ejected on occasion. I think he got ejected at least once this year, but I know he did once, but some bad technicals on occasion, but not lately. His defense is unbelievable. His passing skills crazy, and the way he lulls defenders to sleep, it's wonderful. Kyle Anderson's the kind of guy you hope he plays here the rest of his career. And Conley, same thing. Provides little spurts offensively, but just the overall calming influence Conley is, and it's worked so much better with Rudy Gobert. Like, you know, those two are just like a match made in heaven when it comes to NBA basketball, Gobert and Conley. So even though it doesn't feel like this genius move, it kind of was by Tim Connolly. Conley and Connolly. Very easy to mess that up. Way too easy, in fact. It's almost the same. But Connell, okay, you get the idea. Anthony Edwards, 6 of 15 from the floor again. Still kind of struggling. Not the sharpest jump shot in the world right now. But, well, I mean, an ankle injury, you're not going to be out there, you know, when your ankle's like recovering. You're probably not going to be out there shooting jump shots as much as you want. And maybe your form might be kind of like altered a bit, unfortunately, as well, with the way you're kind of going up and releasing your shot. It's not a fun feeling at all. In fact, you know, I mean, I've been there, others have been there. Anthony Edwards did have 7 assists in the game, though. He obviously has more of a game than like any average or above average player does Anthony Edwards. And he's a way better defender than people think at times. Again, the way he denies players the ball, and that's, again, similar style with Jaden McDaniels, where it's that incredible, you know, defense denying the ball on those inbound passes late in games that makes such a huge difference. And, of course, making that key pass for, say, you know, a guy you'd think would be an open catch-and-shoot shot that just isn't there because McDaniels and Edwards stick to their men like glue when the time is right. And the game they bring is incredible. This was a fun basketball game, a bit of back and forth. Highlight play off the charts by Jaden McDaniels, just skying to the basket. Kind of it had a little Jordan-esque vibe to it, the dunk. Classic, kind of cocking the ball back and dunking it. Not quite from the elbow, but a little bit in front. Obviously, maybe like 8-9 feet away or so from the hoop. Probably more than that, more like 10. And it was an awesome play. Skying to the basket, showing his athleticism and ability to, you know, power his way to the hoop, even though he's a thinner guy. But certainly getting stronger physically, definitely. And, there's a lot of game to Jaden McDaniels. Again, like, maybe like a Scottie Pippen-type dunk, we'll say. And that's the kind of game he's bringing more and more as he continues to develop and improve, does Jaden McDaniels. Really fun basketball game and had Wolves fans, you know, walking on the clouds a bit. Despite, you know, 39 and 37 is nothing to write home about. Even if you're a Timberwolves fan that struggled or suffered for many, many years during the Andrew Wiggins era, during this era, during that era, you know, got teased a bit for 1 year with Jimmy Butler. That obviously didn't mean a whole lot. We were the 8th seed because Butler missed enough games that we couldn't have that 5th seed or so. Even 4th seed, there was a point the Wolves were in. So we got teased that year in a big way. The next year, the guy wanted to set the place on fire, and it was ridiculous. So we move on to the 29th, Thursday, against the Phoenix Suns. A very interesting basketball game, to say the least. This was on ESPN. It was on ESPN, which is kind of weird. It's a Wednesday. Why did I say Thursday? Yeah, Wednesday. And that's where you get the national broadcasts and such. The Wolves were in the game most of the way. Anthony Edwards, a lot sharper, 13 of 22, 3 of 9 from downtown is nothing to brag about, but it's okay. It's kind of like classic Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards leading the offense. It's classic. It's the way it was for so long, obviously. Well, not so long, but the few years that they've been together now. Rudy Gobert did pull down 15 rebounds, but he also had 5 personal fouls and had a lot to complain about after the game. Was extremely frustrated with the multiple moving screens that he set, apparently, that the referees brought up and called a foul on him, offensive foul, that type of thing. And obviously the free throw disparity. Apparently Phoenix doesn't attempt a lot of free throws. They're one of the weaker free throw shooting, free throw attempt teams in the league. The Wolves are like upper echelon, like 10th or something. And the Wolves attempted 12 free throws in the game. 12. Phoenix, this was again brought up by Gobert and others. Phoenix attempted 27. So a pretty big disparity there, more than double. Josh Okogie started the game and pulled down 9 rebounds, led the Suns in rebounding. Nice job, Josh. He even made a 3-pointer in the game. Josh Okogie made a 3-pointer. And see, Josh Okogie, he definitely doesn't have the long arms of the law like Jaden McDaniels. You know, it's like Jaden McDaniels being here is a large reason why Josh Okogie isn't, because obviously, that elite defender role. Josh Okogie was a good defender, where McDaniels is on that next level, and there's a lot more potential offense to Jaden McDaniels' game. But good for Josh Okogie to be hanging in there, sticking to it, and all that, and definitely playing a role with Phoenix and starting at the moment. Obviously, things can change with that back and forth, with guys, different lineups and such, and guys becoming healthy. But, yeah, good for Josh Okogie. 33 minutes. Phoenix Suns end up beating the Wolves in an insanely frustrating game. I'm trying to pull up something here, because I know I have it in multiple places. But actually, what Gobert said after the game was obviously super frustrated. I think I'm getting it. Eventually I'll get there, maybe in like 20 years, but at the end of the day, it was still, it was a good basketball game that ended up, being insanely frustrating. And a lot of Wolves conspiracy theorists, myself included at times, will flip out. So Rudy Gobert's comments about the officiating versus the Phoenix Suns, and apparently he's talking about the other teams as well. It's BS. He said the whole word. It's really not fair. Every night I've been in this league. It's not fair. Every night, pardon me. I've been in this league for 10 years, and I try to always give the benefit of the doubt, but it's hard for me to think they're not trying to help the Suns win last night. It's hard for me to think they didn't help the Warriors win the other night or Sacramento Kings the other night. It's just so obvious. As a basketball player that's been in this league for so long, it's disrespectful. So, yeah, but some of the calls, obviously, he's not happy about it. Yeah, and I can imagine, again, the calls on Jaden McDaniels. He was pretty snake bit and such. And, well, the Warriors did almost win the game. And it didn't help that the Wolves shot like crap against the Golden State Warriors. And the Sacramento game was probably a little closer than we would have liked, I'm sure. Kyle Anderson, of course, started versus the Kings because Karl-Anthony Towns was not going to play in a back-to-back situation. So that was another major thing you got to bring up. And the Wolves winning without Karl-Anthony Towns again, very impressive. Unfortunately, losing in Phoenix. But again, he made half of his threes, 5 of 10, did Karl-Anthony Towns. 9 of 17 overall. Not the best game, not the worst, but very sloppy. 6 turnovers by Karl-Anthony Towns. 6 turnovers by Rudy Gobert. 5 turnovers, not 3 sixes. I don't want to do that. 5 turnovers by Kyle Anderson. His assist to turnover ratio, not what it's normally been. The turnovers certainly did not help versus the Phoenix Suns. It did feel like this team got rattled. Some of the main players on this team got rattled, got frustrated, let it get to them a bit. Walker, Nikhil Alexander Walker, 5 minutes and pretty much nothing. He got a single rebound. It's kind of a bummer. I don't know. Hopefully his role increases and he is more of a factor in the future. Apparently Luka Garza had 47 points for the G League, so pretty cool, the Iowa Wolves. I'll just mention that. It's not the most important thing at the moment when the Wolves are fighting for a playoff spot. Jaden McDaniels' offensive game, not so great, but defensively was fine. Again, though, foul trouble. 5 fouls again. 3 games in a row. He had 15 personal fouls in 3 games. Jaden McDaniels, Five personal fouls to Rudy Gobert. He, again, ran into massive foul trouble, and that's what he's complaining about. That's where the frustration is. Kyle Anderson, four personal fouls. Anthony Edwards frustrated. There was like a tip, I guess, like a jump ball situation that went awry in a big way, and it felt, very unfair. And I don't know. This was a very frustrating game, and it brought out the conspiracy theorists once again. And, you know, I have no problem with you. If you think the refs are, if you think the calls have been a little on the biased side, I don't have a huge problem with you, honestly. I don't. I'm not a huge backer of that conspiracy theory. I have others that I get into, per se, that aren't, maybe not be basketball, might not be basketball related, but, or they're at least called conspiracy theories. We'll see what they really are at the end of the day. I don't know. I have no problem with you being extremely frustrated. I have no problem with you thinking that there is some bias going on. And sometimes it sure feels that way. I'm not gonna shoot you down at all if you have a frustration with and a beef with how things have been officiated. It does feel biased sometimes. And certain players, there is no conspiracy theory whatsoever. It is a conspiracy, not a conspiracy theory, that players like Booker, players like Chris Paul, players like Steph Curry, players like Kevin Durant, you could go on all day. Like the big names, they get way more calls, and some absolutely ridiculous, than say like a young guy like Anthony Edwards that isn't, you know, at the top yet, so to speak. And it does feel like the Garnetts of the world, the Karl-Anthony Towns of the world, despite the fact that they were established and still got, they were already established and still sometimes got the short straw, which was insanely frustrating. And you could even hear it verbally in certain games, like Houston versus Chicago back in 98, you know, the Bulls and the Rockets. Michael Jordan and Chuck playing against each other for the last time, at least when he was with the Bulls anyway. Or no, Chuck was gone by the time Jordan went to the Wizards, long gone. It was funny how, you could hear it verbally. Charles Barkley, you know, obviously one of Michael Jordan's best friends, of course, was saying, that's a foul. I don't care if he is Michael Jordan, that's a foul. And then Michael Jordan and Chuck had a fun back and forth, kind of like almost like hockey, like checking each other with their shoulders. And then even Clyde Drexler during the game, like, hey, you know, you need to give me that call. I'm a star too, you know. And I heard him saying it as he's shooting free throws. So very interesting that kind of stuff was going on that long ago in the late 90s. So, and you know, I was already a veteran fan by then, but a young veteran. I was like Naz Reid, I guess, as a fan. But, a young veteran, you can say. now I'm ancient. But, yes, that is a conspiracy. That's not a conspiracy theory. Those players do get some ridiculous calls sometimes favoring them. And it can appear at times that the refs are actually favoring that team. I'm sure the NBA would not mind the thought of the Phoenix Suns having home court advantage and making a playoff run, because I got to think that's really good for ratings. Golden State, look at the way the NBA, you know, the NBA on NBA.com or NBA app, basically, which is NBA.com in a mobile form. It is. during the game recap, it was 90% Golden State Warriors highlights. I know the Wolves didn't shoot well, but the Warriors really didn't either. So it's like, gee, who do you like more between the Wolves and the Warriors? Focus on who won the freaking game a little bit. Maybe 50-50? Is that asking too much? Like, think about if the Warriors beat the Wolves. It would have probably been 100% Warriors highlights. It was ridiculous. The Wolves won the game, and they gave the Warriors 90% of the freaking game recap highlights. It was ridiculous. They didn't even win the game. Gee, stupid. Absolutely stupid. So again, that's a frustration. So I wouldn't doubt for a minute that there is a little bit to some of these. They're just not as dramatic and over the top as some people are turning it into. Like, they hate us, they hate Karl-Anthony Towns, they don't want the Wolves in the playoffs. I don't think they mind the Wolves in the playoffs. I got to think the Wolves could draw some views with Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert. I think they're going to attract something. Jaden McDaniels is going to be a household name for that very reason. If he isn't already in certain NBA fans' households, so to speak. So, that's where I defeat the whole team thing. But players, oh, yeah. Oh, hell yes. And yes, certain teams, I'm sure they wouldn't mind seeing the Los Angeles Lakers in the postseason. So that was a conspiracy a long time ago as well, when about 10 years ago, me and Marcus did a show. About 10 years ago when the Lakers were, the Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant Lakers, you know, Paul Gasol, that team. How it really reeked of a conspiracy to try to get the Lakers into the postseason. It was ridiculous. It was funny, actually, how blatant some of the calls were. It was an interesting video, YouTube video, where it's like, whoa. And they were playing the soundtrack from Loose Change, you know, like 9/11 conspiracies and all that. It was pretty funny how they were turned it into, like, the referees like, Like, yeah, yes, we're going to make sure this team makes it. But that Laker team didn't make it anyway, with that said. This Laker team, they might. They're going to be in some type of play-in, I'm sure. They're like 500, and we're going to talk about them in the next segment. What a perfect segue, because I'm just so good at that. No, that was luck. Pure luck. Absolutely pure luck. But I'll take it. Who's the lone wolf award for this week? Is there one? I think it's Kyle Anderson. Even though he didn't have a great game against Phoenix. We could have used a little more. Kyle Anderson, absolutely. I think he gets it. I think the big play versus the Warriors and the overall, you know, good game versus Sacramento and that high IQ he brings. Kyle Anderson will bring home the Lone Wolf Award for this week. Johnny Flynn Memorial is going to go to Nikhil Alexander-Walker again. He's kind of vanished off the face of the earth, and it's sad. Hopefully we can get more. Maybe take it as motivation, NAW. Let's go. Enough with the I'm not good, to, yeah, I am good, you know? I'm Nikhil Alexander Walker, or like, you're not scoring. You're not scoring here. I'm a great defender and a great player. I'm going to kick your butt, that type of thing. So with that, we'll take a quick break, come back and talk about Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Lakers, as Chick Hearn would say, Portland and Brooklyn coming up. Interesting schedule as we head into Abril. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number two, the preview segment, the Los Angeles Lakers of Anaheim. Okay, they're coming to Target Center anyway. Anaheim. Anthony Davis, what a surprise. Foot injury. LeBron James, foot injury. Mo Bamba, foot injury. Anthony Davis probably won't play because he just doesn't play because that's who he is. LeBron, I think he's going to play. I think so. He's been back and forth, kind of healthy, questionable. Thanks for coming back after my team lost in the postseason, but maybe it can help me get at least a bronze medal, yay, or a bronze trophy or whatever for Yahoo Sports Fantasy. Yes, Yahoo Sports Fantasy. It's actually pretty fun, but yeah, obviously trying to get a baseball team together. I screwed that up by not signing up on time for the regular season, so it's going to be like a week late. Naz Reid's banged up at the wrist a little bit. He was a huge candidate. I think he's the other one that should have got it. I'm sorry. Naz Reid and Kyle Anderson will share the Lone Wolf Award. I am so sorry, Naz Reid. Yeah, you guys are the greatest. Anthony Edwards, yep, hasn't been feeling good. And Kyle Anderson hasn't been feeling good, so that stinks. That stink. Points per game, the Wolves and the Lakers are tied at ninth, 116 each. Lakers are 6th in rebounds. Wolves are 23rd. I'm still irritated looking at that. I don't understand that. Field goal percentage. Lakers are 10th. Wolves are 3rd. Attack in the rim. 3-point percentage. Lakers 26th. Wolves 16th. Assists per game. Lakers are 17th. Wolves are 8th. Turnovers. Wolves are 27th. Lakers are 17th. Assist to turnover ratio. Lakers 19th. Timberwolves 25th. I'd like to know how much it's improved under Conley. It's probably not that much, but just overall higher IQ for sure. Block shots. Lakers are 15th. Wolves are 4th. Steals per game. Lakers 25th. Wolves are 5th. Nice to be in the top 5 with both of those. The Wolves do lead the season series 2-0. We've already won it because it's a 3-game ditty with a division or non-division rival, Western Conference rival, but non-division, of course. Timberwolves won very early in the year, 111-102. On Friday, the 28th of October. Friday, March the 3rd. It's a Friday thing with the Lakers and the Timberwolves. Three Fridays. Kind of cool. Timberwolves win 110-102 on March the 3rd, Friday, of course, about a month ago. This is now March the 31st, the final day of Marza. So we're one quarter into 2023 already. Wow. Wolves host the Los Angeles Lakers, and I think our chances of sweeping the Lakers are good. They're not as good as they were earlier, because the Lakers are actually a 500 team now. Lakers were not 500 when they played the Wolves the last couple times. They were quite below it. Lakers look a lot better now, unfortunately, for the Timberwolves. 10 days ago, or more than that even, the Lakers beat the Orlando Magic in the 2009 NBA Final rematch. What a great series that was. I barely even watched that series. That's probably the series, NBA Final series I watched the least in the last X amount of years, except maybe 2018. Yeah. It's like, you know, Cleveland was like a sacrificial lamb for a team that I just cannot stand. I think you know who played in the 2018 finals. Anyhow, but yeah, those are probably the two least watched NBA finals of my life, 2018 and 2009. 111-105 win over the Magic. Lakers versus Suns, 122-111 win there. Pretty impressive. These are all in Staples Center or Crypto.com Arena, pardon me. Victory over the Thunder, 116-111. They're greatly improved. They're just under 500 and hanging around with the 10th seed. Chicago Bulls, rematch of 91. Yeah, yay. That's only 31 years ago, 32 years ago. 118-108 loss in Crypto.com. Lakers then go to Chicago and win 121-110. 121-110. The Lakers defeat the Bulls, just like Game 1 in the 91 Finals that had Michael Jordan furious. And then he gave Magic and the Lakers a wink, saying, I know what to do against you SOBs. And they won the next four games. Yeah, that's all you need to know. The Wolves also 4-1 in our last five. Pretty cool. Against the Knicks, Hawks. We beat the Knicks, Hawks, Warriors, Kings, and then lost to the Suns. Blah, 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 blah. I'll go over the Western Conference super fast. Denver's number one, Memphis number two, Sacramento number three, Phoenix number four, Clippers number five. And they're only two games ahead of the Wolves, but there's only six games left. Golden State number six, which is definitely an important spot because that hopefully you can avoid this play-in thing. It's an actual real playoff spot. You're good to go. Wolves only a game behind the Warriors. New Orleans Pelicans, I don't know how they're even there, but they have some nice players besides that other guy that can't stay healthy named Zion Williamson. Wolves are tied with the New Orleans Pelicans for the seventh seed. Lakers would be ninth at 38-38. Oklahoma City Thunder 10th at 38-39. They'd be playing, if it all ended today, Wolves and Lakers would have a play-in game. Interesting. Very interesting. Imagine a healthy Lakers team, an actual healthy Lakers team that won the title a couple years ago in a play-in game in Target Center. Very interesting game, actually. Pelicans would be hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are only a full game behind. So very, very tight Western Conference at the moment. We're not going to catch Denver or any of them, but Denver, Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix. It's kind of cool to see teams like that at the top, but it's not like I like Denver or Memphis, though. I don't. I really don't. Denver's an irritating team at times. Memphis, they left me with a really sour taste in my mouth last year. Didn't like the way they behaved. I really didn't. Especially a certain star player on that team. He lost me, man. Let me tell you. So we'll move on from that. Sorry. Let's get back to the Lakers. I don't need to rant all day. One thing, though, super quick. Okay, I'll go to the East really super fast. Because, you know, we're in the final stretches here. Final stretch. We're heading into April. The Bucks are number one in the East right now. 55-22. The Celtics are number two. 76ers number three. Cleveland number four. Knicks number five. New York Knicks, that is. Brooklyn Nets number six. Miami Heat number seven. Atlanta Hawks, nice recovery. Number eight, at a 500 record. Toronto's 500. Number nine, and the Bulls somehow are at the 10th seed now after an awful start to the season. So the Bulls kind of back in the mix again. Good for them. What was I going to get into? Yeah, what happened last night with the Celtics and Bucks? So the two top teams in the East, two top teams in the whole league, tip off. And the Celtics win by 41 points. Okay, right. What the hell? That's weird. I don't know what happened. Wish I saw more of it, but then again, maybe I don't, because games like that can be quite boring. But that's your situation there. Sorry, I babbled enough about the league, but me and Marcus used to do that all the time, and we really enjoyed it. Those are some fun shows, but albeit a little too long. Will Anthony Davis actually play? I don't know. Russell Westbrook's long gone. D'Angelo Russell is hurt all the time, and he's just whatever he is. That's the difference between Conley and Russell. Conley hurt his ankle a bit and kept playing. Think about that. Mike Conley hurt his ankle a little bit and kept playing. And he's a lot older than D'Angelo Russell, by the way. D'Angelo Russell's not even 30. Conley's 35. 35 years old, hurt his ankle a little bit and kept playing. D'Angelo Russell, you know, whatever the injury is, he's out for a week or more. That's D'Angelo Russell. And I know Vince Germano is annoyed. He thinks he's the weak, you know, obviously weak, soft, all that good stuff. When he does play and he plays at the top of his game, he's entertaining to watch. He can get red hot. He can carry your team. Gosh, he's averaging almost 7 threes attempted a game, which is crazy. LeBron James attempts almost 7 threes a game, and he's shooting 30%. What the hell? Like, that's kind of crappy. But that's kind of like, as you get older and older and older, kind of like Kobe in his last few years with the Lakers. God rest his soul, by the way. It wasn't that good. It just wasn't. So, I'm just being honest with you. It wasn't good. It simply wasn't. So, I don't know. Sometimes you're like this star, super, super legend, established player. I don't know. You get a little too happy with yourself. Like 30%, you're shooting 7 a game? Seriously? Yeah, he's shooting 50% overall from the floor. His IQ is off the charts, him being LeBron James. But that's a little bit of a minus for me. Like, what the heck? That's too much. Too much. Too much. D'Angelo Russell's shooting the same amount, and he's making 40%. That's, you know, okay. I guess it's okay. Even he takes the stupidest shots sometimes, but he can get red hot. Gosh, half of the time I forget who's there and who isn't, because it's like, it's been a revolving door. I'm pretty sure Dennis Schroeder is still there. Schroeder, right? I'm pretty sure he's still there, because there's Schrader, there's Schroeder, and there's Schroeder. So there was a Schrader years ago with the Jay Schrader with the Los Angeles Raiders. They're the Sacramento Kings of the NFL, like changing cities about 50 times or changing locations about 50 times now over the years. Of course, they stayed in California, though. It was L.A. Raiders, or no, it was Oakland Raiders, L.A. Raiders, Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders. Next, Sacramento, you could go on all day. I think they started in Cincinnati. They started in Cincinnati, the Sacramento Kings. Can you believe that stuff? Cincinnati, whatever they were they the Royals or something else? I can't even remember now. I think they were the Royals, yeah. I think. It might have even been something else. Let's assume Cincinnati Royals. Rochester Royals, Kansas City Kings, Sacramento Kings, and almost moved to, I think there was another city mixed in there, which I'm going even crazier, and they almost moved to Anaheim, or Seattle. Think about that. Sorry, I'm dancing off somewhere else again. And there was some stupid conversation about Austin Reeves. I don't even want to get into that stuff. What was it, Rashad McCants? Just be quiet. What a dummy. Like, just divisive stuff. Just stop. That's all I have to say to Rashad McCants. The Wolves should be able to beat this team, I think. But they are playing so much better. That's what's scary. It might be our first loss to the Lakers this year. Hard to believe the Wolves have actually kind of semi-dominated the Lakers. Considering what this matchup used to be. It was like 20 in a row for the Lakers or something. It was bad. It was a 22 in a row. It was like ridiculous. So when the Wolves finally won, it was like, hell yes. But by then, the Lakers had fallen off the face of the earth. Oh, so suddenly. Age hit them like a ton of bricks in the early 2010s. Like 2013-ish or so. I don't know what to make of this one. This is going to be a tight game. I think back and forth. Step out in faith. The Wolves get the victory. Final score of 121 to 120. A one-point game might even go to OT. But the Wolves end up winning with Anthony Edwards scoring 30 in the game. I think Carl Anthony Towns might even have a bigger night. 35 for Carl Anthony Towns. It's going to be a very fun night. Portland Trailblazers, let's keep moving for the sake of time. And I apologize for my endless babbling. Damian Lillard, I believe they are talking about shutting him down, right, if they haven't already. Anthony Simmons has been a nice revelation. He's had a nice year. After a very slow start to his career, he's taken off a bit. Cam Reddish having some good moments. He's getting better again. He'd run into the injury bug quite a bit. Josh Hart, it feels like he's been on about 20 teams, maybe 10. Gary Payton II was there for a while. Interesting. Gary Payton II's been all over the place, too. Nurkic had been nursing injuries. I don't think he's playing. In fact, I'm almost 90% sure he's not playing still. Son of a biscuit. He certainly didn't help my fantasy team either. Pretty sure he's not playing. But whatever. Cam Reddish lumbar. Okay, that was just now. Ryan something. Ryan Ark. Lumbar. Okay, Keon Johnson finger. And whatever. Portland is 19th in points, 27th in rebounds, 15th in field goal percentage, 11th in three-point percentage, 22nd in assists, 19th in turnovers, 25th in turnovers ratio, tied with the Wolves, 15th in blocks, and 4th in steals. The Timberwolves have already won the series. It's up 3-0. It's saying 4-0, which is funny, which maybe they're predicting a win for the Wolves. Portland is just kind of tanking and disappearing off the face of the earth right now. They've lost 4 in a row after beating Utah 127-115. Utah certainly vanished as well. They were really promising at the beginning of the year, and they're not even in the play-in anymore. Again, after beating Utah 127-115, all home games for the Blazers, 124-96 loss to the Bulls. Wow. Oklahoma City, 118-112 loss. New Orleans, 124-90 loss. Sacramento, 120-80. 120-80 on March 29th, a 40-point loss for the Blazers. This is a home game for the Wolves, and if we don't win this game, we need to get our heads examined. We need to get our butts in gear. But this would potentially, if the Wolves beat the Lakers, put the Wolves at minimum of a 500 record. It guarantees a non-losing season for the second year in a row. That's good. April 2nd, Sunday, April 2nd, the 16-year anniversary of my legendary cat, Chloe, being put down at about 10 a.m. on April 2nd, 2007, approximately 10 a.m. she was put down. That was not a good day. Let's just leave that alone for the moment, but just bringing that up, I guess. The Wolves have to win this game. There's just no excuse, and the Wolves will win the game. Final score, the Wolves win by 40. No, I don't know. I think you're going to see somebody like Jaden McDaniels lead the Wolves in scoring, maybe a Kyle Anderson, or maybe even something like a Naz Reid leading the Wolves in scoring. And in fact, he probably will, because I think the Wolves win comfortably by like 25, something like that. That's what I'm hoping for. The Wolves frick around and lose this one, I'm going to be really mad, and I think everybody will be. But let's go with the final score of about 123-98. The Wolves win comfortably over the Portland Trail Blazers. Let's keep moving. I've been babbling now. Brooklyn Nets, I don't know who's on this team anymore either, but I think I do. I know Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are not. I know Michael Bridges and Spencer Dinwiddie are. Dinwiddie with his second stint with the club. Cam Johnson getting a lot more playing time and really taking advantage of it, getting almost 17 points a game. With Phoenix, he was pretty much a 10 points a game guy. I'm pretty sure Royce O'Neal is no longer on the... He's been a bit of a journeyman. Good player, though. He was on Utah last year. He's on Brooklyn now, right? Ben Simmons shut down for the year, and he just, I don't know. I have nothing more to say right now. Ben Simmons is a non-factor. Let's just leave it at that. He's a non-factor. Cam Johnson, though, nice to see him coming out and playing well. Brooklyn is the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, 41-35. Really nice overall numbers. They're a pretty talented team, obviously, even though they're not like... They're you know, it's a bunch of good players kind of mixing in. And would you believe there's only two regular season games remaining with the Spurs and the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll talk about those next. That New Orleans game could be very pivotal for playoff seeding. We'll see. Brooklyn is 15th in points, 29th in rebounds, 5th in field goal percentage, 5th in three-point percentage. Interesting. Assists, they are 13th, 11th in turnovers, 10th in turnover ratio, whatever, assist to turnover ratio. Number one in the NBA in block shots. Ooh, you know, and 17th in steals. So a little bit of a tall club, I'm sure, and of course they are. You have like Nick Claxton, who's not a little point guard like Speedy Claxton, who's a head coach in the college rankings. Good for him. Nick Claxton is averaging 2.5 blocks a game. Yep, that's what I thought. He's definitely the king of blocks. Kevin Durant averaged 1.5 blocks when he was with the Brooklyn Nets. Boy, it's just, yeah, it really didn't work out, did it? And I remember the guys on the Courtside podcast saying this team is going to be completely imploded in a couple years. They were right. Absolutely right. And they brought back Spencer Dinwiddie, of all players, which is really interesting, before all the things got crazy. And then, you know, nice players like Michael Bridges and Cam Johnson. I mean, I like what they've done, actually. I think they deserve a little bit of respect. I like what Brooklyn has done. And it's driving me nuts. Where is Royce O'Neal? He is on the Brooklyn Nets. Okay, so he has been there all year. Okay, sorry. Yeah, and we did play them really recently. That's why it's like ringing a bell right now. So, yep, he was on Utah last year. And I like him. Nice role player. Kind of like a big guy, you know, like big guy off the bench. Kind of like, I won't compare him to Naz Reid. Kind of like their Kyle Anderson in a way, but not as long, you know, not as long, more bulky, per se, is Royce O'Neal. I think it's safe to say Royce O'Neal's a bulky guy, right? Yep, averages 9 points, 5 rebounds in 31 minutes. He should get more rebounds than that. It's weird. Brooklyn is 2-3 in their last 5. They lost to Cleveland twice at home, 115-109 and 116-114. Oof. But Cleveland's pretty good. 129-100 win over Miami in Miami. Impressive. 119-106 loss to Orlando in Orlando. That's kind of like the Wolves, right? That's just like the Wolves. We're going, wow, we beat Miami. That's pretty cool. And then you return the next game or so and get beat by the freaking Magic. Like, come on. It's ridiculous. The Magic are not that, you know, they haven't been a good team in 10 years or more now. It's ridiculous. Houston Rockets trying to get a number one pick, trying to get the next Yao Ming. No, I don't know. 123-114 win by the Brooklyn Nets over the Houston Rockets. Houston Rockets. No, I'm just kidding. We have one of the weakest logos in the NBA, in my opinion. It's a cool R, but I don't know. I like the old Rockets logo. I like the old Rockets uniforms. The Hakeem Olajuwon era, like most of his career. Bring him back and keep him, please. You can even modernize the uniform a little bit, but bring back the old logo and the old color scheme. You can modernize it, but have the color scheme. Damn it, please. Bring back the color scheme. I don't like red and white. I like red and gold, like the kind of like the Rockets used to be, that orange is red. Ah, I miss that so much. It was so good. They had they were way up there on the list of best uniforms. It was like, yeah, that reddish orange. It was so cool with that gold. I miss it, safe to say. The Wolves, should we win against Brooklyn? I think so. I think the Wolves can go undefeated this week. And why the heck not? Why the heck not? It's time. Maybe the Wolves get snake bit by some frustrating calls or just don't shoot well or whatever the heck. Pray to God people just stay the frick healthy finally. And all that good stuff, and get healthy as well. Other guys might not be feeling good lately. But the Wolves, I am going to pick a win. I am going to pick a win over the Brooklyn Nets. I'm going to do it. Minnesota wins. This one is in Target Center, isn't it? I think we lost to this team earlier this year. No, this is in Brooklyn. Okay, well, we lost in Target Center in overtime, 124-123. I think the Wolves win in Brooklyn, so we kind of return the favor. That's kind of how the Wolves have been this year. We've been returning the favor and playing well against decent teams. Wolves will return the favor with a 120. Let's say we get the 124 this time, and Brooklyn winds up with 118. Wolves win by 6 over the Brooklyn Nets. Karl Anthony Towns with 35 against a team that might have been his growing up, because he grew up in New Jersey, did Karl Anthony Towns, just like Shaquille O'Neal did. Yep, kind of cool. Joy Z Boys. Brick City, Shaquille O'Neal. I come from Brick City, Newark, New Jersey, Brick City. He just kept saying it. I was like, okay, it's the Brick City, Shaq. We got it, Shaq. Okay, but yes, they will defeat the Brooklyn Nets, thankfully. With that, we'll take a quick break and get to some fan interaction. We'll be right back. are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 3, Fan Interaction. Got to do 2 things here quick before I even get to the Fan Interaction. I didn't do DraftKings at the start of segment 1, so I guess I'll do it at the start of segment 3, and I deeply apologize. Segment 2, but yeah. Normally I like to do it after segment 2, but well, here we are. I apologize. I suppose as long as it gets on here and not at like the very, very end of the show, which is probably irritating for DraftKings. The biggest tournament in college basketball is underway, and the action is just getting started on DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, and don't let it be UConn, I hope, plus combine multiple bets for a shot and an even bigger payout. DraftKings will be featuring parlays and odds boosts all tournament long, so be sure to check the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day to see what they have in store. So again, we're at the Final Four now, the Hardwood Four, not the Frozen Four, but the Hardwood Four. Yeah, the Final Four. Thankfully, Gopher Hockey is in the Frozen Four / Hockey's Final Four. But now you got Florida Atlantic going up against San Diego State. Wow, it's definitely been an underdog story. Even UConn is an underdog story, but they have 4 national championships fairly recently. I don't want them to win it. I really don't. And you get against the Miami Hurricanes. So hopefully Miami can dispatch of UConn right away. That would be great. And then we don't have to worry about that happening, and we'll have a very new team winning a national championship. San Diego State has Bill Dutcher as head coach. Father was Jim Dutcher, former Gopher coach way, way back in the day. Dutcher wanted to coach the, Brian Dutcher wanted to coach the Gophers. He was actually interested, and the Gophers were talking about it. I apologize, Brian Dutcher. I feel so stupid. Bill Dutcher. Brian Dutcher. He was interviewing for the job just recently before the Gophers hired Ben Johnson, and they informed Dutcher that we were hiring Ben Johnson. So, how's that worked out for us? Exactly. That's how it's worked out so far. I don't know. But maybe anybody would struggle with the Gophers program these days. I don't know. But Dutcher's in the Final Four, and the Gophers suck. Really, really suck. Like, they don't suck. They really suck. What were we, like 3-17 in the Big Ten or something? Or 2-17. That's not even a conversation anymore. So, it's going to be a lot of fun to see. So there's going to be a major underdog in the championship game, no doubt about it. Hopefully 2 of them. Miami was a 5th seed, and so is San Diego State. So it's not like they're that super underdog, but they're an underdog, no doubt about it. We don't want UConn there. I don't. Maybe some of you love them. Maybe Khalid El-Amin, by some miracle, is listening. He went to UConn and won their first national championship with that school there, so back in 99. So good for him. But that was then. I was cheering for him then. I ain't cheering for him now. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code TBPN. TBPN, the Basketball Podcast Network. Right now, new customers can bet $5 on any pre-game moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. That would be Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, or the other one, Miami. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with TBPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details, as Rudy Gobert would say. The other thing I needed to get to before we dive deep into Fan Interaction, however long that might be, I deeply apologize. And I mean, I deeply apologize. Deeply apologize. I didn't know. I didn't expect this. I know he had a wrist injury, but I didn't realize he'd suffered a broken wrist. So apparently this was reported overnight when I was like either sleeping or just, kind of doing something else, whatever, pretty much sleeping by then, by Shams Charania. And I didn't see this until now, and I feel so stupid. Minnesota Timberwolves center Naz Reid has suffered a broken wrist and will miss a significant period of time, sources tell me, and John Krasinski. Tough loss as Reid is in the midst of his best season, averaging 11.5 points and 5 rebounds. So, I'm very sorry. And that's very somber news. Very. It's Shams Charania. It's not Shams Charania's burner account or anything funny like that. It's everything but funny. Now it's Reid, really? Oh, man. So, that really hurts. I'm very sad to hear that. I mean, really sad. So, because he'd been so valuable. And you know, he's the last guy you want to see that happen to. Hopefully the team can keep him around, obviously, in the offseason, but he's probably not going to be available unless the Wolves go to the West Finals or something. So that really sucks. That really sucks. It's like, yes, we have wealth for, you know, like big men and such, but Naz Reid was so valuable, it didn't matter. He was playing anyway, despite the fact we had such a glut of big men on this team. So I'm really sad to hear that, and it stinks, man. So that hurts, really hurts to hear that. I'm really sorry, Naz Reid, and I'm sorry to the listeners for not bringing that up at the beginning of the show. So I'm really sorry. That sucks, man. Whew, that sucks. So the most recent episode, as I attempt to get to fan interaction now, was retweeted on @TWolvesEX by Derek Fell. So again, big friend of Brave the Wild, and thank you. Also a friend of Timberwolves Explosion. I really appreciate you. Also does the Crease and Assist podcast. We're kind of almost like sister shows now, in a way. Like Brave the Wild, you know, we both talk about Minnesota Wild hockey. Derek Felska wrote Crease and Assist as a blog for about 17 years. So really cool talking hockey. But now he's moved to the, I won't call it the dark side. I jokingly called it that when we did a show together last week, me and Derek on Brave the Wild, that he's joined the dark side. He's become a podcaster now rather than writing. So in a lot of ways, podcasting's easier in a way. In some ways it's harder, in some ways it's easier, but I don't know. I mean, just getting up and talking is generally easier than writing, because writing, you got to really be, you know, you got to kind of be on your toes, make sure your grammar's right, make sure you're not sounding stupid the way you're writing, and of course getting your facts straight, which I didn't mention Naz Reid at the beginning of the show, the injury. I wish I could have seen that, and I feel so stupid and sad about that. I really do. So that one really got me. It really did, and I apologize. But thank you so much, Derek Felska, for retweeting this show. Coming in out of Western Wisconsin, ultimately from, I believe, Elk River, but moved to Western Wisconsin to become a teacher. So he's not this Packer fan or anything. Don't worry. I wouldn't get mad at him if he's a Bucks fan, because they're good, but apparently Wolves fan too. Levi and Tanae retweeted the show. Thank you guys very much. Coming out of New Zealand. Benzo coming out of the Bronx in New York. Very awesome there. The Basketball Podcast Network coming in out of Vancouver, British Columbia. Of course, that's, you know, our hosting page, our hosting network. And that's where DraftKings come from, of course. Vinrock Vince Germano retweeting out of Melbourne, Australia, in the Victoria Province of Australia. And again, still missing the heck out of Vince Germano. Wayne Hunt, Stu Benson, the Courtside Podcast. Hope they come back at some point. I understand things are quiet, things are busy. Looks like Wayne Hunt hasn't even been on Facebook for a year, so I hope everything's okay there. And Vince Germano recently recovered from something. He was sick, so nice to hear he's better, and that's great news. So great to hear them from Vinrock Vince Germano about that in a big way. So now we jump in. Tanae Brown says, let me see if it started with something I said. Yeah, no, something I posted. Walker Kessler has almost twice as many blocks and 300-plus fewer minutes than Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert, 86 blocks in 1869 minutes. Walker Kessler, 155 blocks in 1525 minutes. So, yeah, that's incredible. Tanae Brown says, it's noticeable how often he changes. Yeah, this would be Rudy Gobert, yeah. This is true. It's noticeable how often he changes shots in the paint still, though. His blocks are way down, but he's the best paint protector we've had in a long time. Yeah, since Garnett, right? If you don't think about the trade, Rudy is a great player to have on the team. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's true. He's obviously a huge piece, and his rebounding has been great as well. And like I was kind of, I think I responded back with something like, it's like Garnett in a lot of ways, where Garnett wasn't an elite shot blocker, but stuff that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. Yeah. He does do some little things that don't show up in the stat sheet. Very true. Garnett was an elite shot blocker, or wasn't an elite shot blocker for similar reasons, where he would change shots at times and it wasn't necessarily like actually making the block. And sometimes, unfortunately, Garnett would be late and get goaltending calls and the fans would boo and think the refs hate us. But no, it was the right call. And I could see it in the upper deck. So fans booing were kind of just, I don't know, they just, it's all about whose ox is being gored, as Dan Burrow would say. Tanae Brown says, excuse my language, but F those Warriors. That was a great win. Yep. Oh, F those Warriors is right, because I think we're both in alignment about how we feel about that team. I can't stand them. I was saying, I'm with you all the way. Can't stand that team. Maybe I've been rubbing off on you the last few years. Ha ha. That was one of the most, that was one of the worst shooting performances I've ever seen, but we'll take it for sure. It cost me a chance to win a fantasy title, but it is what it is. Yep, so, yes, obviously a Wolves win is more important than me winning a fantasy championship, or getting to the final at least. I might not have won, because the whole damn team is injured. Thanks, Bradley Beal. Thanks, Zion Williamson. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys, for getting hurt and not playing and stuff. Anyhow, Tanae Brown continues. Yep, Kyle Anderson. This is a good one. Reminds me of AK-47. He's just solid in every aspect of the game. He does, the stuff he does keeps the Wolves in a lot of games when things are going wrong. Yep, so cool. And yep, Tanae Brown was quote-tweeting John Krasinski's tweet. Johnny Krasinski saying, an unbelievable win for the Wolves. Cat has played in two games and has the game-winning shots in both of them. Yeah, that big clutch three. Yeah, that was huge. Nas Reed, 23 points. Kyle Anderson, 12 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals. Yeah, that huge steal was a big, 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 big moment there. And then fed it to Carl for that catch-and-shoot three, which was, in the right time, right place. That was beautiful. Beautiful. Is there more going on here? Yeah, very, very nice. Yep, like AK-47, that great defense, the length and all that. And he didn't play super fast at AK-47. So, yep, cool call there, Tanae. That was a good one. I thought I had something to respond. I thought I responded to him. I think I did. Yep, I was saying awesome comparison. And what an incredible game he had in Chase Arena. Also, tonight he's just been incredible. Great call, my friend. I think I repeated myself there. I was like, oh, he did well, and he did incredible tonight. Well, yeah. Whoops. So I must have been going crazy there. Just excited about the win, no doubt. That was a big one. But I was a bit down about losing the fantasy semifinal, though. Yep, this is the Sacramento one here. Tanae Brown, no Towns. Edwards on one leg. Second night of a back-to-back. Many reasons to come out flat in this one. But the Wolves competed their asses off today. Great performance. I was worried our shooting would carry over from last night, but things clicked a lot better tonight. Yes, they did. They shot better against Sacramento. It was a fun game, wasn't it? I was saying super impressive win. This one actually impressed me more than last night, considering it was the second of back-to-backs. Yeah. Or no, I said that first, and then Tanae responded? Yeah. I was saying, yeah, I was super surprised with this win. It just reeked of a classic Timberwolves flat loss. Edwards used to say in the past that he couldn't play well in the second of back-to-back, but he hung in there. Yep. I think we're almost there. Yep. Oh, something retweeted. What did I... Oh, yeah. Yep. The Timberwolves announced a partnership with Curtis 50 Cent, or 50 Cent, or whatever, Jackson's Sire Spirits. So it's related with 50 Cent. So 50 Cent was wearing a Wolves hat, and he's a working with the Wolves now, so that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. One of the few rappers I don't mind, put it that way. Yeah, I don't mind him. I don't. What the heck? What was I saying? Bucky Wolves, where is he at? What was I saying? Oh, yeah, Bucky was saying, Cat haters, where you at? And I said, where is he at? Yeah, Cat here, yeah, because he wasn't playing. So I was like laughing at that guy. So, yeah. Sorry. So that's the end of the interaction on Twitter. I forget if there's something on Facebook. Little response. Nope. Just a like. Yeah, and then a really weird Hawks statistic. Yep. So it's mostly just likes and such. Maybe a share or two here and there. But really weird statistic to wrap up the show. The Atlanta Hawks. This is the darndest thing of all time. Crazy. In the last, and this is at the time of the post, I was saying it doesn't seem possible a couple of days ago, and it's actually still happening right now, if I remember correctly. They're 13-13 in their last 26 games, 12-12 in their last 24, 11-11 in the last 22, 10-10 in the last 20, 9-9 in the last 18, 8-8 in their last 16, 7-7 in the last 14, 6-6 in their last 12, 5-5 in their last 10, 4-4 in their last 8, 3-3 in their last 6, 2-2 in their last 4, 1-1 in their last 2 games. what the heck is that? I have nary an idea, laddie. But, yeah, that's the definition of a 500 team. And you know what's real interesting? They're 500 also. Maybe they're 38 and 38 in their last, yeah, they are. They are in their last, they are, yeah. Yeah, sorry, 74 games, I think? I don't know. No, that's not 74. I don't know. My brain is stopping. I don't want to think. So, what the heck? What the heck is that? I don't know. It's funny. 76 games. Duh. 76. Yeah. I don't know. I'm confused. Absolutely confused. But sometimes funny things happen. I'm digging something. I apologize. What is going on? Yeah, it should be, right? Yeah, it was 76. That's what I thought. Okay. Anyhow, but we'll wrap up the show with that. Thank you once and always for listening to the show. Please tell your friends about it. Really appreciate it. Get your DraftKings Sportsbook app. Go Gophers in the Frozen Four, but that's next week. So by the time I'm doing this show next week, the Gophers will either be out in the semifinal or in the championship game Monday, or Friday, Saturday, pardon me. So we'll see how that turns out. Otherwise, go Florida Atlantic or San Diego State, I guess. And, of course, please go Miami. Knock out UConn. I don't hunt UConn. I just don't. Doesn't do anything for me. With that said, again, call into the show if you can. Otherwise, the tweeting is awesome as well, at TWolvesEX. If you want to call into the show, open up your smartphone. Download any free voice recording app or something or maybe you already have something built into the device, which is always there, like a built-in app, so to speak. They all usually have them, or just automatically there, or whatever the word is. And, yeah, just open it, start recording, treat it like a phone call. When you're done, send it, save it and send it to PaladinoLive@Yahoo.com. PaladinoLive@Yahoo.com. I will then convert it into an MP3 file, thanks to Zumzar with a Z, or CloudConvert.com. Thank you once and always for listening. And again, tell your friends about the show. Write a positive rating on Apple Podcasts or any other app that allows you to do that. And it would be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. And those of you that have, thank you so much. Until next week, take care. Go Gopher Hockey. Go Florida Atlantic. Whatever. So take care.